morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new Monday-sode.
Monday-sode.
Yeah, baby. From the Epic Film Guys podcast, we are thrilled, absolutely beyond thrilled, to have you here. I, of course, am Epic Film Guy Nick. I'm one third, one half, one whatever of this ensemble.
And I am Justin, and we are missing our saucy today. Loy Sauce.
You're not my dad.
Working or doing whatever that kid does on his time off. I don't know.
He's now just going
out
die.
And about.
I think we all know what he does on his time off. I don't think we need to speculate about what Loy Sauce is really busy doing. I'm
well,
doing
he's a
air quotes
guy.
Audio I mean, audience, air quotes in the air.
There's some things that he does that I'm pretty sure no one knows about. Like there's a secret society he's a part of or something. Like
I would
that.
Think I so. Secret society. Are you going to talk about Black Christmas, Justin? No, you can't.
God damn it. I wish I could right now, but I did promise Mr. Saucy, the Loy Sauce,
the
that I would
Loy
wait for
sauce,
him
ladies and gentlemen.
To review that because we had an opportunity to watch that in the theater the other night, and I can't wait to talk about it. If you follow me on social media, you already know how I feel, but I usually keep all my thoughts inside until we record.
When I saw that post, I was like, he must be furious right now.
Yeah, and I really don't want to get too much into it right now because I want to save that for when we record on Monday for the regular episode, but that's all I'll say.
Coming
right
up
now,
on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, Justin's review of Black Christmas, as well as a review of Jumanji, The Next Level. Now, Justin still hasn't seen the first one, and he's deciding whether or not he's going to watch the first one before he sees the second one. But, you know, it is what it is. Whatever. You see it or you don't. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Go see the second one. Just go see the second one so that way we can actually review it on the show. It'll be super fun.
I'm definitely going to give it a shot. I just want to throw a huge shout out and thanks to every single person that listens to the show that
came out to our
Terror Tuesday presentation of Silent Night, Deadly Night this last week, presented by AGFA. It was a fantastic time. I got to dress up in the Killer Billy Santa costume.
Oh,
and
good for you.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. It was a beautiful presentation. Unfortunately, it's not the uncut version that we got to show, but a lot of people came out and had a blast. And surprisingly, I frightened some children with the costume. Like, parents were there.
I want to see a kid get decapitated.
Well, this kid came up. This lady's like, oh, look who it is. Thinking, like, I'm there to, like, be Santa or something. I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm holding the bloody axe. And, like, this mom's just looking at me like I'm fucking crazy or something. Then they saw me walking around with a vodka and soda and like, oh, Santa's drinking. I was like, yeah, buddy. Santa drinks too, okay? How do you think he gets through the holidays? You think he does that shit sober?
But man, no, he must go on the bender of benders like after like Christmas night, like delivering all those presents. He must just get absolutely shit-faced.
I would too if I were him. I mean, think of how much pressure is on that guy.
It's crazy, man.
Got to be the most stressed out motherfucker on the planet.
It's got to be. So, Justin.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
Well, this morning it was pretty good. Matter of fact,
ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who care, not many of you, but for those of you who care, I have completed the master soundboard.
Oh, good for you.
That means we get some old clips that I haven't had on the soundboard in quite some time back in rotation. And like, this is a good collection of clips. Now, the thing is, whenever there's a new clip that's got to get added into the soundboard, I'm going to have to remove one. I'm going to have to part with one of these clips that we just, I mean, they're great clips, man.
Hey, you over there.
Oh, yeah. Not him. Get him out of here.
Do you remember back when you used to try to troll me with the soundboard?
Yeah, now you're like immune to it. Now you don't even react
me.
To it. Now you don't even react to it anymore.
I've gotten so used to it, you know?
It's like, just
maybe someday I'll be shocked by it once again. Or
maybe he's
going to
spank
in my
you with
case,
the belt now.
Annoyed by it, but, you know, because
if
I
just
not
push the buttons enough
first.
Times, he'll get. See, all I got to do, ladies and gentlemen, if I really want to get his goat, if I really want to get after him, I just got to hit this one.
I sucked a dick last night.
That's the only one I got to hit because he claims that wasn't him. He claims I doctored that somehow, but I swear.
And I've asked you many, many times to remove that and never play it again, and you continue to. So I guess that one still does bother me, I guess, slightly.
So fucking awkward, bud.
Yeah. Why you got to be so fucking awkward? God damn it. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this, welcome. We love you. Thank you so, so much for tuning in right at the top of the show, right at the top, because we always wait and bury it in the second segment or whatever. But if you're listening to this, if it's your first time and you love the show, you haven't had the chance yet, head over to Apple Podcasts, drop us a beautiful 5-star review. We will love you forever. And I don't know how many more times I got to promise this. Nobody's taking us up on this offer, Justin. I'm starting to worry that maybe nobody wants him, but we will give you Loy Sauce. We will send him to you, and you can just if you need a bunch of yard work done, like you could just whatever kind of, if you want to make him your love slave,
you got to
whatever you want to do, he's yours. 5-star review, and he'll be on his way. We'll put him in a small box that's just barely big enough for him, so he can't move around. He'll be cramped and really uncomfortable. And then when you open the box, he'll just fall out and throw his arms on you. Take him, please. Take our Loy Sauce. Oh, my Lord. So, yeah, Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer coming up in Epic Previews, as well as Wonder Woman 84. I'm really eager to talk to Justin about both of those trailers. We've been very, very much anticipating, especially the trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife, once we found out it was going to be landing. You know what I think? We're not in Epic Previews just yet, Justin, but I think the best thing about that Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, because I saw it again in the theater when I went to see Ford v Ferrari.
Oh, lucky you.
I think the best thing about it is that literally the first half of it, until Paul Rudd picks up the ghost trap, you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what it is. That's just to throw that out there before we get into Epic Previews a little bit later in the show. But it doesn't even play like a Ghostbusters trailer until you start to get into it. And then you realize, oh, shit, this is actually the Ghostbusters trailer. It gives you so little because, I mean, it wants to give you a nostalgia boner a little bit. It wants to rub it very softly, squirt a little bit of lube on the hand, rub it gently. But it doesn't want you to be like full out nostalgia nerd boner because it very clearly wants to be its own thing from the get-go. It very clearly is going to be its own thing, not just crib on nostalgia. Remember when the Ghostbusters 2016 trailer came out and the trailer talks about the other Ghostbusters movies to which it's not even connected?
Yeah. I also remember, the pure hatred that was flowing like ooze underneath, you know, New York City. It was, people were angry. They were very, very, so, very angry at that trailer.
So,
and plus
angry.
It was not a good trailer or anything.
It
but
wasn't.
Nick, it just came to my mind that we're recording this. It's landing on Monday, and this is the week of Star Wars.
I know.
And
so by the time you hear the Thursday episode, that's the night I'm seeing it. You're seeing it Thursday as well, right?
I certainly am, but I may see it before that. It depends on when Disney releases the drive, if you will, and the saucy may let me sneak in and watch it. I don't know.
Here we
we'll
go.
Have to see.
Why did you go eat a decrepit piece of crap?
Yeah. Son of a bitch. Well, I will get to see it Thursday, like most of you who are listening to this, because I don't have any kind of special fun privileges or anything like that. God damn it.
Just go into fucking AMC Vestal and just threaten them. Demand that they show it to you early. That's all you have to do. I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, dude, we'll open it up right now.
Oh,
be like, I'm about to die.
I still don't think I really have any Star Wars hype, though. It's not that I'm not excited to see it, and I really, really do want to see it, but I'm keeping my expectations firmly in check because I was not a big fan of Force Awakens, as you know. I was a huge fan of The Last Jedi, of course, but you know, it's just the toxicity of fandom that surrounds Star Wars that, I mean, legitimately, they are dead set on ruining anything and everything Star Wars related, no matter what it is. No, unless it's Baby Yoda, because everybody loves Baby Yoda. We're not talking about Baby Yoda this whole fucking episode.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I pre-ordered 3 Baby Yodas. The Baby Yoda talking plush, the other Baby Yoda plush, and the Baby Yoda Black Series action figure.
You, I just said Baby Yoda 3 times.
Yeah, baby.
No more. But no more talk.
I'm still not getting my Baby Yodas until May. So that's all I'll say about Baby Yoda, Nick. I promise. I won't say anything more about Baby Yoda.
Oh, my God. But yeah, so I'm not there. I don't know. Are you hyped? Or like, are you excited? Like, can you feel the tingles?
Yeah.
Like, do you feel the super excitement?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was talking to Saucy about it the other night before we went to go see Black Christmas, and I was like, a TV spot came on the bar TV or whatever, and I've been watching a lot of interviews like I like to do for movies I'm excited about. You know, I watch all the interviews with JJ, interviews with Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, and it's just, it's getting me at least excited. I've been listening to the scores, to the John Williams scores at work, and I mean, it's for me, I really want this one to be the best one of the new three.
Oh, you know, like I'm really hoping
that, and I have a feeling it's possible. I mean, you never know.
It's definitely possible. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people always say the third movie's, you know, always the weakest, but you never know. I mean, J.J. Abrams was a very capable director. We both have, on many occasions, you know, kind of tooted his horn here on the show. Yep. And, you know, our listeners that have listened to our show for a long time, that I loved The Force Awakens, and I rewatched it again recently to kind of get myself prepped, and I still love that movie. I love that movie.
Honest to God, this week, actually this weekend, because we're recording this on a Saturday afternoon, which is the weirdest time we've ever recorded a show, for us, I think, but I think I actually may this weekend pop The Force Awakens in, pop The Last Jedi in, just rewatch them, just to kind of maybe see if I can get myself in the spirit, get myself in the mood, get myself excited for some Star Wars action. I'm definitely going to be there opening night. Like, I can't wait to see it. I'm really, really in that sense. I'm really, really excited in that regard. But speaking of Adam Driver, you mentioned him in there. Have you watched Marriage Story yet?
I did not get a chance to.
Watch it.
I'm going to. I want to. Hey, listen.
Top three of the year for me. Probably, unless I see something else that bumps it out, it will probably stay in the top three, maybe even cycle into the number one. And Adam Driver gives one of the best male performances of the year, bar none. He will. I mean, you love Driver, and I know that you already are a huge, huge fan of his, and you know the talent that he has as an actor. This will take it even to another level. He is so fucking good in it. ScarJo is amazing in it as well. It's a great film. If you haven't caught me, check out Netflix and Swill. It would have been last week's show by the time you're listening to this. But I joined Dan and Caleb over on Netflix and Swill to review this because Dan and I are both huge fans of Noah Baumbach. And I really, really loved this movie. Please watch this movie if you haven't, Justin, or anybody else that's listening. If you haven't seen Marriage Story, it is great. And especially...
I was planning on it. I'm telling you right now. I sat down. I was about to watch it. Listen, I have to deal with my wife's viewing perspective as well, and she was like, I want to watch something Christmas related. She was just in that mood. So listen, I didn't pick one of the corny, shitty, newer ones. I watched Miracle on 34th Street, the original, in black and white.
Hey,
so
there you go.
I went old school, but
I've got It's a Wonderful Life all queued up and ready for Christmas Day. That's going to be my Christmas Day, is watching It's a Wonderful Life. Unless, please, maybe somehow, some way, something good opens on Christmas Day in the theater and I can go see it. But I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen or not.
But you actually had the opportunity. You said you saw Ford v. Ferrari, right?
Yeah, I saw Ford v. Ferrari. And so speaking of movies that I hate racing. Like my dad, when I was a little kid, there's a dirt track. I grew up in Susquehanna, PA. There's a dirt track called Pencan there. That was my first ever job cleaning up garbage the morning after the race, I should say, with my uncle, my brother, and one of my cousins. And number one, it was never put a 15-year-old in that position of having to have my uncle Kenneth be my boss. Cause that's, if you ever wonder where I picked up like all the foul mouth, like sexual innuendo, like all that kind of stuff, that was my uncle Kenneth. One of the greatest men that will ever fucking live on this planet. I fucking loved him. Rest in peace, Uncle Kenneth. He was an amazing guy. But my dad would take me to the races when I was a little kid, and I would sit in the dirt and just play because I hated watching racing. I was like, this is fucking dumb. I don't want to watch this. Like, you're going around in circles. That's all they're doing, is just going around in circles. I'm not a racing guy. If you are a racing person, you're listening to this, I'm glad that's your thing. That's great. That's amazing. But it's just not for me. So Ford v. Ferrari, James Mangold, obviously director of Logan. Like, so, okay, there's some anticipation there. Christian Bale, who we both adore. Amazing. Matt Damon, also checking in there. Okay. The Punisher's own John Bernthal as Lee Iacocca. Okay. So it's like, maybe this is nice. Good. And then you watch the trailers, and the trailers actually look pretty exhilarating. And I got to tell you, Justin, blew me away. fucking blew me away. The racing stuff, this is probably the first time in my life I have ever given a shit about racing. The racing stuff is shot so fucking well. It's so tense. It's so great. Like, the way that he uses the camera to swing around the track, sometimes you're kind of like mounted on the car. You are the car in a first-person perspective moving around the track. Other times that camera is just, it's doing things, and I think this is probably it, like, especially televised racing, like, there's only so many things you can do with a camera. In terms of, like, real life, televised, this is a film where they can have, like, camera setups to shoot these different things from these different angles. And absolutely amazing. So Christian Bale plays Ken Miles. Matt Damon plays Carroll Shelby. Back in the, I guess this was in the 60s. I didn't look up the exact time frame of it. But back in the 60s, Ford wanted to purchase Ferrari because Ford was churning out a ton of automobiles or whatever. But they were failing. They were losing sales. They weren't really breaking the bank. So they wanted to do something. So they wanted to purchase Ferrari, who had a really, really great name for racing. And Ferrari shut them down. Ferrari was like, nope, bitch, get the fuck out of here. So essentially, Ford was just like, okay, we're going to hire a ton of great engineers, a ton of great designers, and we're going to build an amazing race car all by ourselves, and we're going to beat them at Le Mans, which is this 24-hour road race. So it's not even just a normal circle track. It's like this nice road course where there's turns and all sorts of everything all over the place. And basically, that's pretty much the story of the movie. It's Christian Bale as Ken Miles, and it's Matt Damon as Carroll Shelby. It's a film that's more about them kind of, I mean, obviously, they're dealing with the struggles of building a race car that can beat a Ferrari, and they're built, you know, trying to deal with all these different things physics wise. If you're not somebody who is into racing, or if you're not somebody who understands anything about building race cars, you don't need to be going into this movie. This movie holds your hand, not too much, not too much to where you'll be bored, but it holds your hand and it at least walks you through this stuff so you at least understand what's going on. Very, very smartly written. Insanely good performances from both Bale and Damon. Bale is so transformative, Justin. And I mean, you know this about him and everything he does. He's so transformative. He disappears in roles. Matt Damon's very, very good, but it's Matt Damon, so you just know it's Matt Damon, even though he does give an insanely, right. He gives a great performance, but Bale disappears into Ken Miles. Amazing, amazing performance. Just really, really great. And I mean, It like I said, I was blown away. 8 out of 10. I absolutely loved it. Go see this movie if you haven't gotten a chance to. I'm really, really glad. It's probably going to be out of theaters next week. Well, Star Wars is coming out. Everything's going to be out of fucking theaters once Star Wars hits. But I was really, really impressed. And like I said, I was like, this is going to be about racing. I'm not going to like this. This is not going to be my cup of tea. But then I heard like some of our peers, like over at the Countdown, Paul and Wayne reviewing it, talking about it, and some other people. And I'm just like, I'll give it a shot. And no shit, the racing is some of the, like, literally, if you've ever seen a racing movie, this is probably some of, if not the best racing footage shot for cinema that you'll ever see. It's insane. It's pulse pounding. It's tension filled. It's amazing. It's great. Just literally great. Go see this movie. Seriously, go see this movie.
I was really hoping that I'd have an opportunity to catch it down here at the 6-story 4K laser projected IMAX.
Oh, it would look because it did insane. Yeah,
it did do an IMAX run, but it's already out, so it's already out of that theater.
It would look insane on that screen, dude. But you should get it. If you can't catch it in theaters, get it for your setup at home and watch it. The sound design is amazing. Like, you hear, like, you feel like you're the driver in that car at times, the way that they set everything up. It's just great. It's just great. And like I said, it's not kind of, the title of the film is Ford v Ferrari. And that really just means Ford trying to beat Ferrari at Le Mans. But it's really more about Shelby and Miles and their struggle to get this race car put together while dealing with Ford executives and dealing with all that kind of stuff. I really, really loved it. Really, like I said, it's really, really smartly written. And like I said, John Barenthal's in it as Lee Iacocca. You know, you can't. Whatever.
Can't beat that. Whatever. I mean, man. Come on.
Barenthal is great too, but he doesn't get a whole lot to do. He's important earlier on, and then he kind of fades into the background, and he's just kind of there around, hanging there, just doing whatever and whatnot. It's fine. That's all fine. But I mean, especially the performances. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't think this is going to get picked up for awards contention just because it's one of those movies that maybe it comes out at the wrong time of the year, or not enough people see it, or it just gets drowned out by buzz from other films. But Bale definitely deserves to be nominated for that performance. He is excellent. And I mean, he may, because he's Christian Bale, he may still squeeze a nomination in there somewhere. I don't know what category they'd put him in, though, because he and Damon are kind of co-leads. I could see them almost trying to push him as supporting, even though, you know, all the driving stuff, like he's driving, he's racing, it's from his perspective and everything. And just great. Just check out that movie if you haven't gotten the chance to. I think we can leave it there, Justin. I think we can go ahead and run over into a little bit of a break. And when we come back, it's time to do some epic previews, Justin. We're going to be talking about two trailers that we've both been waiting for a lot. One way more than the other. I mean, Wonder Woman 84, like, I really wanted to see the trailer for it, and I'm really interested in it. But holy fuck, we're going to talk about that Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, my friend.
Ghostbusters! Yeah, man!
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about Ghostbusters Afterlife and Wonder Woman 84 right after this. Back, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for deciding to spend your Monday, Tuesday, whatever day, whenever you're listening to this. Thank you for spending it with the Epic Film Guys. We love you. We really, really, really appreciate it. Justin, I know you're excited. I know you're excited.
It's time, man.
So
it's time.
It's time. Let's kick it over into a little bit of epic previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York, and Herndon, Virginia, two Epic Film Guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
And we have two trailers, ladies and gentlemen, to bend your ears around our thoughts. And I'm going to give Justin blue balls first. We're going to talk about Wonder Woman 84, since we both just watched it again, just to kind of refresh ourselves. So let's kick it right over to you, Justin. Give it to me, baby.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I anyone that listens to the show knows that I was a bigger fan of the first Wonder Woman film than either you or Lois.
I barely passed it. Barely.
But I haven't been heavily anticipating this movie, though I love Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I think she's brilliant in the role. Yeah. I think she's fantastic. When this trailer landed, me being the huge 80s aficionado that I am, you'd think that it would have, you know, blew my top off, but it just kind of exists. Like, I watched it. I think it looks fine, but nothing in there really excited me. I did notice that someone must have seen a photograph of me wearing my black members only jacket and my silver Casio and decided to rip off my style and give it to Chris Pine in the movie.
Is that
That's
what
a
they
thing.
Did?
That's a thing. Oh. It's on the poster. I'm like, someone must have looked at my Facebook and been like, hey, let's make him look like that dude. Just much more attractive.
This dude looks like he got plucked right out of the 80s. Let's just, yeah.
You know, the one thing that struck me as soon as I watched this trailer, Nick, is that I totally regret not going down and watching them do any of the shooting, because they were shooting here in DC. As you can see in the trailer, they were shooting in Georgetown, which is heavily accessible for people to be able to see. I didn't even put it on casting on that one. I should have put it on casting, but I think the action looks as good as you would expect it to. Nothing else really nailed me though. Oh, and I want to make it clear here. The movie takes place in 1984 and they used the New Order Blue Monday song as its theme. And that song didn't come out until 1986. So that's a thing, too.
That's what you're getting hung up on?
It was cool. I liked what they did with it. I love that fucking song. I like that version. I also like the orgy version of the song. And it was just, yeah, cool to do, but it didn't fit because it's not 1986. It's 1984. But I don't know. The one awesome shot, I like at the end when they're like in that, during the chase sequence and she's like flying in the air or whatever with their lasso. That looks cool. But other than that, like nothing
what
here.
Does she legitimately uses the lasso on a thunderbolt? Like, or on a lightning bolt, I guess I should say.
Lightning bolt, yes.
And like is literally whipping across the sky on light. I mean, that's cool. That's kind of cool. That's neat. You know what?
That's neat. Listen to you over there.
What?
That's neat.
So here, I didn't want to talk about this after Ghostbusters because I'm like, we're not going to have any energy left after Ghostbusters to put into Wonder Woman. But so interesting things that I pointed out and picked out in the trailer. Number one, we get to see Kristen Wiig, obviously, who looks amazing in this trailer, but she is Cheetah in the film and we don't get to see her as Cheetah. I'm glad for that. Thank you. Please don't give us that until the movie. Although we know a second trailer is going to come out and it's going to ruin that for us eventually. But I'm really glad that they didn't blow their wad on that the first time out of the gate. Really glad. And Chris Pine's back. Now we knew Patty Jenkins has said that he's going to be back in this film. He features way more heavily in this trailer than I thought he was going to. Like, I thought maybe we'd get like a brief glimpse of him or something, but he's like in the whole fucking trailer.
It seems as though once he comes back, he's going to be at her side the entire run of the movie.
Which,
that's what it's seeming like to me.
I don't hate that because I loved their chemistry in the first movie. It was one of the best things about the first film. So I like that.
It was.
Because you can't just have her by herself all the time, even though Gal Gadot is... She just looks amazing and badass in this film, as usual. It's Gal Gadot. We know she's amazing, and she's going to crush it again as this character.
It's funny hearing you say that. We know she's amazing when you think back to a time when every single fanboy on the planet was foaming at the mouth with hatred at her for getting the role.
Why doesn't Wonder Woman have any tits? Remember that?
She's an back awful when she got cast. Actress.
Yeah, back when yeah, she got, yeah. Then, oh, she was in the Fast and Furious 5 and she sucks.
And now every motherfucker now everybody loves her and for good reason.
Because she's great and because, well, we've always had faith in her. Always, you know?
Yeah, we here on the show, we've 100% absolutely had faith in her. Yeah, man.
That was not, you know.
And we have Zack Snyder to thank for this. We're not gonna bring up the Snyder Cut. I promise we're not gonna bring it up. It's not happening on this episode.
While we're doing it. Hashtag
it's not gonna happen. But I mean, we have him to thank for her casting
the Snyder
and seeing something in her. Yeah. Cut. But overall, good. I'd say good to decent to good trailer. It's not anything brilliant or amazing.
I agree with you. It kind of announced to me that this movie exists. It did get pushed back. It was supposed to come out this year, so it did get pushed back. And you know, it's, I mean, whatever. I'm there for it. I'll definitely be checking it out. I mean, it's a big blockbuster movie, so of course we're going to be covering it. But I don't know. I'm kind of waiting for a little bit more. I kind of just have more questions than anything right now about, you know, like I said, how is Steve Trevor back? Like back. Like I don't know. But then again, you know, I guess we'll find that out. I guess we'll get to see Kristen Wiig as Cheetah. And, you know, what I hope and what I pray for in this film, two things. Number one, please use the original version of the Wonder Woman theme, not whatever bastardized version of it they cobbled together in Wonder Woman, but the one from Batman versus Superman, because it's amazing and badass. And please, I mean, we do see some shots of it in the trailer, but it's not overloaded like the first. Remember the first trailer for the first Wonder Woman and how much I complained about it because of how much they cribbed on that slow-mo. And then the movie was like that. There were way too many slow-mo shots. I really hope we don't get a ton of that again.
Well, I mean, even here, that shot there, I swear to God, this looked like it was right out of Justice League. Wasn't there a scene in Justice League where she's like grabbing a gun and like there's a bullet in midair or something like that?
It's a similar shot in Justice League right at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. Yeah, right early, very early in the movie, and it's in the Justice League trailers too.
Yeah, the only other thing that I really wanted to talk about with this, being the huge 80s aficionado that I am, is it a little bit too late for this? I mean, the whole Stranger Things, you know, that changed everything, and there was like a really big trend for 80s nostalgia, and this is a couple years removed from that. So, I mean, is this too late for this to be a thing? I like that it's set in the 80s. We've seen other comic book movies try to be in the 80s.
Well, I also think it looks
X-Men, and it did it badly. It does look very period accurate. Yep. So 100% the clothes, I love, like, and the everything.
So. Like the infomercial. I mean, obviously the 80s, you know, like,
but I'm telling you right now, every motherfucker, every extra better look like he was from, like, accurate clothing in this shit, or I'm going to be pissed.
Justin, if you're going to do the 80s, do it and comparing it to items from his own wardrobe, ladies and gentlemen, he will be.
That is true. But I mean, that was the only thing I was like, man, is this, because like I said, I'll watch anything 80s inspired.
Yeah.
Anything. But, you know,
I get it.
It is what it is. We'll see. We'll see when we get there.
We will see when we get there. We're waiting on a little bit more from that one, I think. Just to, yeah, it was a decent trailer. It wasn't a bad trailer by any means. But we're going to move on, Justin, from there. This one's the bread and butter, baby.
Oh, boy.
This one's the bread and butter. We're moving on to Ghostbusters Afterlife, Jason Reitman's sequel to the Ghostbusters 1984 and 89 films, which, to mention 2016 very briefly at the outset here, we enjoyed it for what it was on the show. We didn't rate it.
We super certainly highly. Did.
We didn't. And the problem with the film was not the four female leads. They were all great in their roles, some more than others. Kate McKinnon, amazing, blew us away. The problem was Feig's script and the villain. Those were the problems with that film. If what that film did wrong, I think the worst sin it committed was that it tried to reestablish and reboot the whole thing. This is Ghostbusters. You don't need a new continuity. It's been 30 fucking years since the last Ghostbusters movie. You don't need to try to start over. Put it in the same world. And then the most insulting thing was they get the entire original cast back except for Moranis and, of course, Harold Ramis, because he had passed. The entire original cast as cameos as other characters. It's insulting. Make it in continuity. That, I think, is the thing that I'm looking forward to the most. This is in continuity. This continues on 30 years after the events of Ghostbusters 2, when, Justin, there hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years, according to Paul Rudd's character.
And that's a point of discussion I wanted to make, because a lot of people are speculating on the internet that they won't mention Ghostbusters 2, the events of Ghostbusters 2, or this won't be connecting to that. Yet that line from Paul Rudd almost 100% confirms it's been 30 years, and 1989 was 30 years ago this year. So for me, that was a point in the trailer that led me to believe they're going to have both films. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have both films.
There's no reason why they
connected
wouldn't.
To this.
Yeah, there's no reason why they wouldn't. I mean, they're not going to probably sit and have like a 5-minute discussion about Viggo the Carpathian or anything. But, you know, they're definitely
Viggo the Butch
going to have Viggo the Butch. Boy, he hung in there, didn't
he? I want my Oscar cameo. That baby better be grown up and in this fucking movie. That's what I want, damn it. Just give me the cameo.
I think, and as I mentioned up at the top of the show, I think the best thing about this is literally the first like minute and a half of this, you have no idea what it is. You don't know that it's a Ghostbusters trailer if you're going into it blind, if you've never like seen it or seen it announced online or whatever the case may be. And then you have that moment when Paul Rudd picks up the ghost trap. And he's like, sweet replica and everything. And like, replica of what? The little kid asks. And then all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, this is a Ghostbusters sequel. So before we talk about like the Ghostbusters-y stuff, Justin, how does the first half of this trailer ring to you? Because I still love, even before you even touch the Ghostbusters stuff, I love the way that they're establishing this world. Of course, we've had some people online jokingly referring to it as Stranger Things Season 4. Because Finn Wolfhard is in it, I guess, is what it is. But
yeah, I mean, those connections are there. There's nothing you can do about that. There's going to be kid Ghostbusters in this movie, and you're going to have to deal with it. But to answer your question, Nick, I walked away from this trailer. The first thing I thought was somehow this trailer is presenting something that is the exact opposite of what you would normally think of when you think of a Ghostbusters movie. However, in some way, Ghostbusters is purely present at its core, and it feels like Ghostbusters. And that's just, they nailed it, I think. I mean, I love the dynamic here, that it's in a totally different kind of environment. We're not going to be in New York City again. You know, we're going to be in a very tiny rural town out in the middle of nowhere. So it's going to be something that we have not seen before.
We're going to be, Ghostbusters did you catch movie. Did you catch that the name of the mining company is the Shandor Mining Company.
I did not notice that.
That's Evo Shandor, the guy who had the Gozer cult in the first movie. Yeah, it's the Shandor Mining Company. There's a sign over the mine. So do you think, because it's the Shandor Mining Company, obviously Evo Shandor, I found it in Tobin's Spirit Guide. Like, do you think that this is going to kind of take us on like a, maybe we're going to get more about that cult? We're going to get more about like whatever, like, where do you think that that's going to go? Where do you think that that's going to take this film? Or is that like just an Easter egg? I could be reading into it completely wrong. It could just be some kind of Easter egg, although I really doubt it. Like, it seems to me like it wouldn't just be an Easter egg.
It totally could be. And I'm fully expecting Reitman to have Easter eggs planted all over the fucking place in this movie. And for good reason. I think Easter eggs are a lot of fun, and especially for fans, especially something like Ghostbusters, a franchise this huge, you know. Put those Easter eggs in there.
I only want one fucking Easter egg. I don't care if you have to break into Rick Moranis' house and shoot him on the toilet and then Photoshop a Ghostbusters suit onto him or something.
Well, dude, I wish, this is the thing. And Saucy made this point as well. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, he wished he could be here for this discussion because he really wanted to talk about this trailer. But technically, if we're following the events of Ghostbusters 2, he is a Ghostbuster.
He's an honorary Ghostbuster. But then again, if you follow the plot logic of the trailer, there hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years. So obviously Ghostbusters would have shut down after 89. Ghostbusters would have, there would have been no need for the Ghostbusters. So they would have all had to move on and do their own things and go their own separate ways, which I love, which I think is really, really great. And, you know, I love that Egon basically, and that's one of the things that I pointed out about this trailer that I think I love the most, is Harold Ramis passed away, but obviously Ramis and Aykroyd created Ghostbusters. They wrote the script for the first film. Like, this was all them. I love that they're tying this not only to the legacy of Egon Spengler as a character, but to Harold Ramis's legacy himself. Like, this is going to be following his grandkids. I love that they're doing that. I think it's an absolutely amazing thing. And that little kid, like the glasses and everything, and it's totally oblivious to me until there's that one reveal shot when Paul Rudd asks him, "Who are you?" And he pulls back the little costume, the little suit, and you see Spengler on the chest. That kid, dude, is a dead fucking ringer for like a little Egon. Dude,
I have to tell you, I hate to cut you off there. Dude, with that moment hit in the trailer, I literally cried.
Yeah.
A tear rolled down my fucking cheek. That's how powerful and emotional that shot was for me. And I love that too. Here's something I need to bring up to you, and I have a question for you. So Egon had kids.
Yeah.
This was never mentioned in the other two films at all.
Correct.
How does he have grandkids if in 1989 he doesn't even have any kids that we're aware of?
I mean, it could be
a secret love child with Janine.
I don't think that necessarily. Oh my god, I don't think that necessarily. What I think is that, I mean, there could have been something with Egon where maybe he had somebody and like got married and got divorced or something. Maybe it was an ugly divorce, like whatever, and they just didn't fit that character detail in there. You know, they didn't put that, we don't know, and we can only speculate, really. I mean, Finn Wolfhard is what, probably he's preteen if not teenager in the film. So, you know, if we say he's 12, then, you know, unless his mother had him at like 15, you know, I mean, obviously the timeline doesn't fit up. But then again, maybe they're not as concerned with exact details in the timeline as long as they write a good story and everything looks good and everything makes sense.
I don't care, to be honest with you. I mean, I just saw a lot of people complaining about that, but my point is, who gives a shit?
I mean, Egon could have had a relationship at some point with somebody, and it could be a throwaway line in the beginning of the movie, like, oh yeah, they, you know, my dad met, or my grandpa met my grandma, and then, you know, they broke up, but, you know, she had my mom or whatever. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing, and it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. Doesn't matter to me. I was just curious because I saw there was a small minority of the fan community that was like slightly questioning that, and for good reason. I mean,
you want continuity, like I said, you want everything to make sense in universe. I get it, but they'll throw away a line of dialogue at it, and that'll be all the explanation that it needs in the end. That's all you'll need. That's all that it'll really.
But dude,
need.
You were not lying because you had watched the trailer. I sent it to you, or you sent it to me, or something.
You sent it to me.
And we posted it to the EFG page the second it fucking landed. So for those of you that are not following us on Facebook, make sure to follow that shit because we post movie news and trailers as soon as it lands. But in this case, you said, Because you watched it before I did. I wanted to wait till I got home on my lunch break and watch it on my setup.
I watched it on my phone like 5 times.
And you were like, you're going to get such a fucking nostalgia boner or whatever. And I was like, okay. And I totally did.
I think my exact words were, you're going to cream your jeans.
There it was. There it is. There it was. And you weren't lying, dude. I mean, as soon as you hear the sound of a proton pack turning on, and then as soon as you hear the Ecto-1 siren, that's all you needed. You really didn't even need anything more than that, I think. And I love it. It's a great teaser trailer in the way that it gives you an indication of what the movie's going to be. It doesn't spoil anything. We do see some attempts at ghost busting. We see the kids using the gear.
Well, the best thing is no old characters. No Aykroyd, no Murray. Nothing that's tied to the original Ghostbusters except for the Ecto-1 and obviously like the tech and the gear and everything. You don't get to see, this movie wants to be its own thing. Like some people are complaining that all it did was crib on nostalgia. This thing could have just done nothing but crib on nostalgia. It doesn't even do that for the first minute and a half of the trailer. This isn't even, it could be a trailer for anything until Paul Rudd says a ghost trap. And then you hear that little piano thing. Listen, you smell something? You know, like that's that little sound that you hear, and then it becomes a Ghostbusters trailer. Like it could have leaned way harder into nostalgia, but it clearly wants to be its own thing. It clearly wants to do its own thing. And that's how you have to take these properties and bring them into the new era, into the new age. And I mean, like, seriously, like, dude, the Ecto-1, even though that car never would have fucking started after sitting for 30 years at all, ever. Gasoline is not that good for that long. It doesn't work like that, but whatever. Movie. We're going to let it.
It's a movie.
Be what it is.
It's a movie.
Don't care, because I got to hear that fucking siren and I got to see that fucking proton beam getting thrown. And that's like, and the thing I appreciate the most about what Reitman did in this is you could tell that's like an old school effect. Like, I don't know how much of it's digital and how much of it they tried to do practically or whatever, but like that proton stream effect, like that proton gun, like that looks like a proton gun from the original two films.
It definitely does. I noticed that as well. I immediately noticed that.
I'm assuming that they probably are using digital tech, because I mean, it's 2019, but they went, it looks like, at least from this teaser, to painstaking effort to make it look like the original. And that is amazing.
I'm really curious, man. I'm really curious if they're going to have any practical puppets or anything for any of the ghosts.
I'm sure.
Or use them at all. Because that would be really exciting. But I did want to pose a question to you again as we're wrapping up our discussion on this trailer. What do you say to the people that are out there complaining, saying, this doesn't feel like Ghostbusters, it's not funny at all, this isn't a funny trailer, there's no jokes?
Number one, there's a couple of quips in it, which I liked. Finn Wolfhard, he's like, remember that summer we died under a table?
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I thought that was great. There are a couple of little quips in it. I giggled when the kid, like, there's a gunner's seat, like when the Ecto-1 shoots out, shoots out the chair and everything. Like, I liked that. And Ghostbusters can be so many different things. I mean, think about the original film. The original film is a horror comedy for all intents and purposes. Like, there are some scary ass moments in that. This is a teaser trailer. We're getting so little of what this movie is actually going to be. This, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of funny jokes in it. I'm sure it's going to have all the humor. But Ghostbusters can be so many more things. So what if they want to amp up the action in this trailer? So what if they want to crib more on a thriller or a horror style? Ghostbusters is a property that you can do so much with if you put it in the right hands and if you treat it well. So don't, like, why do people judge movies from trailers? I don't understand why people do this. This got me nothing but excited and amped up for the idea of more Ghostbusters.
100%.
I don't care if there's not another joke in it except for his under the table thing. I want to see more in this world. I want to see more of these characters. This got my ass in a seat. I mean, it's Ghostbusters. I was in a seat opening night anyway. Let's be honest.
We were going to see this thing anyways, but yeah, this definitely cemented in my brain.
It gave me enough nostalgia. Excitement. There are trailers out there for some properties, for some movies, that crib way too hard into nostalgia. This doesn't do it. This gives you a little bit. This gives you the Ecto-1. This gives you the siren. This gives you the proton pack. And I can't tell, Justin, and I said it to somebody else over on our Facebook page, is that Ghost Slimer that they're chasing?
Slimer, is it? Well, I don't know.
I can't
it's hard
tell.
To tell.
I've looked at it. I even freeze framed it on my computer. The color's not there, but it does look like
the color's
kind
not
of
there.
A big blob.
Well, it could be it could be just another type of ghost that's like Slimer.
It could be.
They could introduce a new type of Slimer.
But even still, even that notwithstanding, like it gave me just enough nostalgia to tingle that nostalgia boner. Mine does rise up once in a while too. Yours is way more active than mine is. I know
it is.
But like that said, like it wants to do its own thing. It's clear that they could have just gone into that cutting room. Like I said, think of the Ghostbusters 2016 trailer to go back to that. That movie doesn't even have anything to do with Ghostbusters 84 or 89. And it started out talking about the original movies that it's not even connected to. Like, that's how badly that film wanted to just crib your nostalgia. This doesn't want to do that. It wants to be its own thing. I get it. There's a Stranger Things vibe. Every time you have a kid in a movie doing anything now, it's Stranger Things and It. Finn Wolfhard was in all of them, so maybe it's just the Finn Wolfhardness of all of it. I don't know, but I don't think that that's the case. It doesn't just this thing because there's kids in it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, obviously the parallels are there. Kids are going to be fighting ghosts in this, just like in Stranger Things, and they're fighting the upside down and whatever's coming out of it. I mean, the similarities are there. I get it, but at the same time, I don't care. I just want a good movie, and that's really all that matters to me. And my feel on the humor aspect would be the original Ghostbusters is not jokey. Most of the humor comes from the reactions of things that happen to the characters in the film. It's not, I mean, there are jokes, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's not set up punchline.
Yeah, it's a lot of like dry observations
and
things like that. Like, I mean, Egon is like, I collect spores, molds, and fungus. It's funny, but it's just Egon being Egon. You know, it comes from the characters in the world, in the situation. It's not, you're exactly right. It's not written to be jokey, ha ha ha, laugh at the funny thing. That's not how the film is written whatsoever. As long as the cast has chemistry and everybody plays off of one another really well. You've got Paul Rudd in this thing. We know Murray's back. We know Aykroyd's back. Like, guys, it's going to have humor. You're going to laugh during this movie. I'm sure you will. Just calm down. It's 2.5 minute teaser. There's so much more. I can't wait. I'm so fucking excited for this movie.
I'm super excited too. And I think the last thing I'll say, there's a lot of speculation in my mind. I have no idea how the original cast is going to fit into this story, but I'm really excited to see. I have a feeling it may just be a very short portion of the film, which is totally fine.
I mean, logically, if you think about it logically, there hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years. So obviously all of the Ghostbusters would have moved on to do their own things. Once they realize this is ghost related, obviously they're going to reach out to the original Ghostbusters. Obviously. Like, I mean, it's an easy way to bring them into the film. And I mean, I think Aykroyd is going to probably have more to do than Murray. Maybe I would be fine if Murray's going to phone it in like he phoned it in 2016. I don't want him to be any part of it, but he is part of it. I don't think we're going to see Peter Venkman strap on a proton pack, to be 100% honest.
Well,
I think we're going to get a cameo from him.
I don't know. Like I said, when I met Aykroyd a few weeks ago,
I'm willing to bet you does. Aykroyd, I'm willing to bet you
he specifically
does.
Asked him.
Maybe
I said
he even dies in the movie. Maybe he sacrifices himself to save the kids or something.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I hope as a fan that we get to see him one last time, and then that will be the end of it. Like that's then pass it along.
It's an easy way to bring them into the movie. It's kind of almost laid right out in front of you. Like this movie's not going to open with like think of Ghostbusters 2 with fucking Peter Venkman hosting a talk show or whatever, you know, although that would be hilarious if they did, even still doing like World of the Psychic.
If he was still like a cheesy host,
television
that'd be amazing.
Host or something like that. Although he'd probably be like a cheesy, like online influencer or something like that now in like 2019. But I don't care. I'm on board. I'm there. I can't wait for this movie. Like I said, I've watched this trailer probably like 20 times and I got to see it when I went to see Jumanji. I just like, dude, every time I see it, it just makes me a little bit more excited. I can't wait. I just can't wait. I can't wait to see this movie. Easily, probably almost at the top, if not the very top, of my most anticipated list for next year. I can't even think of anything that would be coming out next year that I would care remotely this much about. I love Ghostbusters. It's been one of my favorite films. We did a commentary on it. We did two commentaries, one on Batman 89 and one on Ghostbusters. That's how much we love this movie as a podcast, as us. Like, we adore this franchise. Cannot wait to see this movie.
Yeah, man. July 10th can't come soon enough. But that's it for trailers. I did want to make a clear note here. Part of the reason why I wanted us to wait to record was there was a rumor that there was going to be a new trailer for A Quiet Place 2. Well, that trailer was all of 15 fucking seconds, and it just showed them walking in the woods. It was attached to Black Christmas when I saw it the other night. Oh. It's not even really anything. It's you just see Emily Blunt and the kids walking in the woods quietly. That's all you got. I'm like, okay, why even release that? It's not even a teaser. You're just seeing them walk in the woods. So,
aren't they still shooting A Quiet Place too?
I'm not even going to say I know because I don't know.
I haven't paid any attention to that.
Yeah. It's a thing, and it's going to follow the original family, which we were hoping it wasn't going to, but that's a thing. So that's it for trailers this week. Overall, I'd say a great week for trailer. Wonder Woman 84, decent trailer, and Ghostbusters, one of my favorite trailers, I'd say, so far all year. I fucking loved it.
Absolutely cannot wait. Ladies and gentlemen, we love you. We appreciate so, so much everybody out there taking the time to tune in to the show. And again, make sure tune in Thursday. Justin and the Sauce are going to savagely berate Black Christmas until it is a bleeding husk on the ground.
Now you're going to die.
That's going to be Black Christmas come Thursday. And we're going to be talking about Jumanji the Next Level, and Justin should watch the first film too. You guys get on social media when you hear this episode and yell at him and say watch the first movie too. As long as he sees the second movie though, that's really what is important. Justin, where can they find us on, if somebody, say somebody, and my favorite thing, I said it last week, I think, was if they stumbled in here and fell into Loy Sauce falling into a big bin of socks, you know, and they're stuck in here and they don't know where to find us online, where do they find us?
We're literally everywhere on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Epic Film Guys. And of course, we are on every single podcast app available, pretty much. Spotify. I know a lot of you people love Spotify. That's a main source for you to check out our podcast.
Get us on there.
And if you want to talk to us, you want to be a part of the Epic Film Fan Group, the Hopesters Dumpster, make sure to like our Facebook page and ask to join the group. We're always in there. We always just bullshit with our friends and fat followers, and that's what it's all about.
That's also where you can find news. I still have some things to iron out about it, but upcoming Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge is coming back in January. I can't wait to talk more about that. You'll find news about that over in the dumpster, as well as planning is already underway for live stream for The Cure, the fourth annual next year. We're going for $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute. Gonna be super, super amazing. Biggest and best event. Yeah, we're gonna make it bigger and better somehow, Justin. I don't even know. It will kill me. It almost killed me last year. It will kill me this year. I don't care how much weight I lose and how good a shape I get in. I'm gonna die.
Do you think it'd be even bigger and more successful if we paid Dustin Diamond to be on? I mean, I think a lot of people wouldn't enjoy and appreciate that.
Okay, when you say pay, you mean just like you're gonna make him a bowl of ramen to eat while he's there, right?
Sure. I mean, that's payment to him, right? I mean, the guy's gotta eat.
Dump some hot sauce on it. Maybe he wants a little bit of spice on that shit to kick him up. God, Dustin Diamond, Jesus Christ. Is he still sleeping on your couch? There was a time in the show's history, ladies and gentlemen, where Dustin Diamond was sleeping on his couch. At least I was convinced he was.
Now he's doing conventions.
Who is paying fucking money to see Screech?
They did Steel City Con last weekend. I was going to go to it, actually, because there was going to be a big reunion. Mark Paul Gosselaar was there. Originally, it was going to be Elizabeth Berkley, Mario Lopez, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and Dustin Diamond. I was going to do this photo op, but then because they're shooting the new Saved by the Bell, Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley had to cancel, so you had to just get your picture with those two.
Please, do not spend your hard-earned money, even if you stole it from somebody, even if you snatched it from a hooker or something, whatever, do not give your money to Dustin fucking Diamond. How much could it possibly cost to get like a photo with him, like a pack of fucking Big Red? Like, who in the right fucking mind? It's Dustin fucking Diamond.
Listen, I'm all about, if he's part of the photo op with the rest of them.
If you bring a box of spaghetti, is it like you bring a canned good and put
donation,
it in the box?
Canned good.
Yeah, you got to bring like a photo can op. Of beets and you get your picture taken with Dustin Diamond. Okay, fine. If you got to bring like a can of Progressive Soup or something and be like, here, New England clam chowder. And then he smiles and maybe that's the only way. The only fucking way. Just fucking stop it. That's it. Now I'm playing this. God damn it.
He said that he sucked the blood from the penis and put the balls in his mouth.
That's probably Justin talking about Dustin Diamond in real life.
That he did. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for this Monday-sode. Thanks again for checking in and giving us a listen. We love you.
We absolutely love you.
We love you. We love you.
We love you, and we really, really appreciate it. So for myself, for Justin, and of course, he's not here, but we love him anyway, for the God of Podcasting. Thank you, Colby. Thank you all so much for listening. And until next time,
we will see you at the movies.